In the early 1880s, the Royal Navy was facing a bit of a difficult set of decisions. They'd built three armoured cruisers in the 1870s as a response to the Russians inventing the concept as a whole, but nothing more than that, as the technology at the time had rendered the entire concept somewhat questionable. However, as the 1880s approached, two major issues presented themselves. Firstly, the duel between the small ironclad Huascar and the unarmoured cruiser HMS Shah had shown that even a small armoured ship could stand off against the kind of ships the Royal Navy was currently using on a lot of its foreign stations. And secondly, the Royal Navy was finally switching to full breech-loading guns, which, along with other technological advancements, had caused the Royal Navy to consider exploring new design options. The initial proposal was for a central battery armoured cruiser, like the preceding Nelson class, with 5 8-inch guns on either side and one in the stern. However, the French were in the process of building the Vauban class, small ironclads designed for overseas work which carried 10 inches of armour and 4 large 9.4-inch guns in high-mounted barbettes. These were the kind of ships that the new armoured cruisers might well be expected to fight, and the barbettes offered the guns a larger field of fire and a higher position, which meant they could be fought in more weathers, albeit at the expense of protection. Various options were thus explored to see how many of the 8-inch guns could be moved to the upper deck in barbettes, some with rifle-proof shields and others without, with varying numbers of guns still placed on the gun deck. One proposal even had 9 separate barbettes. Armour would of course have to match the French thickness at 10 inches, but they would use compound armour instead of iron, which would actually give the new cruiser the equivalent protection of some ironclad battleships. As speed was also required to be 16 knots, in order to try and save weight as well as costs, 2 proposals were presented. A slightly lighter 6,000-ton ship that dropped belt armour entirely in favour of the new protected deck concept, and a larger 7,000-ton proposal that did have belt armour, but only over the vital spaces, which walked back on the trend that had grown since Warrior, which had seen various thicknesses of armour extending along the full length of the waterline of later ships. But then there was another major change in design, as the then brand new 18-ton 9.2-inch gun was available. Thanks to various advances in technology, it was almost 32 calibers long, and it was considered to actually be more powerful in armour penetration terms than the 12.5-inch 38-ton gun, which as well as being much heavier, was only about 16 calibers long. And so it was decided to mount 4 of these 9.2-inch guns as the main armament instead, using a French-style diamond layout in barbettes, 1 fore, 1 aft, both on the centreline, and 2 wing mounts amidships, 1 on each side. A small secondary battery of 6 dozen 6-inch guns, 3 per side, on the now otherwise empty gun deck was also included. A final flourish came in the form of 6 dozen torpedo tubes, 1 either side amidships which were fixed to fire at a 45-degree angle forward, and a pair at either end with internal swivelling gear which gave each tube a 80-degree arc of fire. These were supposed to be just above the waterline, but more on that later. It was then realised that the British didn't actually know how to build barbette mountings, and so somebody went to ask the French naval attaché, and in a remarkable turn of events, he quickly came back with plans for the Bayard class, which were the immediate predecessor to the Vauban's. And so, well, that issue was pretty easily solved. Each barbette was then given 8 inches of armour, a protected deck was also fitted, somewhat below the waterline at the ends and capping the belt amidships, and with the final ships coming in at about 8,400 tonnes and capable of 16 knots thanks to 8,000 indicated horsepower provided by a pair of compound engines driving 2 screws, they would also be the last British armoured cruisers with auxiliary sails, designed with 2 masts and a brig rig. 2 vessels would be built, Imperieuse and Warspite, laid down in 1881, launched barely 6 weeks apart over the end of 1883 and the start of 1884, and commissioned in 1886, at least in theory, as dates given for Warspite's commissioning vary wildly from just before Imperieuse to 4 years later. It seems that Warspite had her sail rig removed and replaced with a single pole mast at some point during her construction, and Imperieuse would later be refitted to match her sister. Once in commission, though, it was found that the ships were somewhat heavy, and both the belt armour and the torpedo tubes were actually underwater. The removal of the sail rig did help somewhat, but the torpedo tubes were rather quickly moved up within the ships to actually be above the waterline. As time went on, the ships were actually refitted quite often. Experimental torpedo net booms were installed, then later removed, the 6-inch battery would be upgraded to quick-firing guns, and at some point, possibly, another pair of 6-inch guns was installed, bringing the total up to 8. But again, exactly when and on which ship is unclear. Warspite also served with rather fabulous bow ornamentation, which makes her relatively easy to discern from Imperieuse. Imperieuse herself spent most of her career serving in the Pacific on the China station, and then on the Pacific station itself, basically the West and Eastern Pacific, until she was recalled to home waters at the start of the 20th century, where she would serve until 1913 as a depot ship. Warspite also served on the Pacific station, but also the Australia station, and she too was recalled in 1902, at which point she was placed in reserve for a couple of years, just in case she was needed, but then sold for scrap in 1904, with her name being reused within a decade on the famous Queen Elizabeth-class battleship.
That's it for this video. Thanks for watching. If you have a comment or suggestion for a ship to review, let us know in the comments below. Don't forget to comment on the pinned post for dry dock questions.